This is Chuck Sickinga interviewing Mrs. Margaret Oakes for the Tri-Cities Museum, August 26, 1991.
I'm Margaret Oakes, born June 2nd, 1918.
And were you born in Grand Haven?
Spring Lake.
Spring Lake.
There.
Okay.
Before they had a hospital.
Okay. Were children born at home there?
Had to be.
No other choice. Okay. And what would be your first memory of the area be?
No, I think probably swimming. Learning to swim at the end of Jackson Street there. What we used to call Fanny's Dock. And my sister and my cousin put me in an old corset of my mother's with a rope on it and dangled me off the dock, and I'd swim back and forth, and they finally let the rope go and I could swim. I think that's probably, I was three at that time. I think that's about my first memory.
Okay. And you lived where?
Right there.
Right across the street here?
Right there. That was my family's home. This was my grandparents' home that they were lucky enough to buy back again.
Yeah.
And both these houses are very old. And we remodeled that 3 or 4 years ago.
Pointing at the house next door.
Detroit Free Press, behind some wallpaper in a closet dated December of 1868, and the house was much older than that. My grandfather moved this house, or this is new, the house and the kitchen, and we added this family room later. But my grandfather moved this house across the street. It was over there, and there was nothing over there, this house was there, but he couldn't buy the house because it was leaf property and the woman wouldn't sell it, so he moved it over here. Then he bought the house next door for his mother, and Indians had lived there, so it was only about two rooms, and he remodeled that. So that house is much older than 1868. This one's about
1858.
I just looked at the paper.
Okay.
But it was much older than that. This house is about 1850.
Then, growing up, who lived in the house?
My grandparents.
Over there, in your home.
I have one sister and my mother and father.
Sister, mother, and father. Okay, as a child, what sort of things, you've mentioned swimming already, did you do?
I sailed all the time. From the time I was 7, sailed for 50 years on these boats out here. You used to have a catboat then. Switched to crewing on an e-boat for years, but my father taught me to sail, and we sailed all the time. He'd sail seas and east, and that was main activity. He used to play some golf, not very well, but I remember the old country club, Spring Lake Country Club, was the only one that was around, and that was just an old farmhouse in an apple orchard, and then they did the golf course around there. But we used to have picnics and things under the trees while our fathers were playing golf and so forth, and we'd picnic under the trees and all that in, and it's kind of fun.
Okay.
School. Oh. Spring Lake School was just this side of where the library is now. There's a park there now, and it was an old building, and they had a metal tube going down from the second floor. It was a fire escape, and we'd have fire drills every now and then. They were just awful. You'd have to slide down inside this metal tube if you were on the second floor. And it went through the 10th grade. And then we went to Grand Haven for the last two grades of high school.
Right.
And there weren't any buses or anything. I had a car, so we were one of the family cars. So I would take three or four students with me, and we'd go over. When we were late, it was always the Fallen Bridge, you know.
Always.
It was a good excuse.
Still the best excuse in town, I think. But how many kids from Spring Lake went over to Grand Haven?
Gosh, I didn't know why.
Okay.
A lot of them. Oh. A lot of them walked, a lot of them drove. And so, but that was the only, I mean, there wasn't any public transportation.
Did most students finish their education all the way through high school?
I'm sure they did.
Back in those days?
Most of them.
Okay, getting back to childhood recreation, things along those lines, it just occurred to me to ask, what sort of toys and things like that did children play with?
Gee, I can't remember. We used to roller skate, and we had tricycles. I remember that when I was a child. Gosh, I don't know about toys.
Sounds to me like children were occupied outdoors much more so than they were now, much more active.
Well, there wasn't any television or anything, you know.
True.
We read a lot, and when you got older, you went to movies and things. They had a band concert where the trailer park down here is now. They had a band show down there, and they used to have just a pickup band, I think, terrible, from Spring Lake. And they also, I think it was Saturday evenings, they used to show movies outdoors. Just old. This was way back in the 20s. Show movies on a screen in the park. And that was kind of fun. And the band concert. And Campbell's Drugstore, where Rite Aid is now, was a hangout for people in Spring Lake.
And,
but we didn't hang out much.
Now, what would you do at Campbell's Drugstore if you were hanging out there?
We'd just go down and have a Coke or something.
Coke.
And friends, and of course it wasn't any mail delivery. It was fun going to the post office to pick up the mail because you'd see everybody you ever knew at the post office. And everybody knew everybody. It isn't that way anymore.
Right. Okay, as you started school in elementary school, what was the elementary school like?
Well, I don't remember. Reading, writing, music, and that was about all.
Was it? I was wondering, schools to me now, they have this very institutional smell to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't remember.
Were they,
okay. That. Of course the classes were very much smaller, especially in Spring. The students from out in the country, the farming kids were bussed in and out again, but there weren't any other buses in the village.
Okay.
Well, the school where they used to have wooden floors and they used oil, and there's all the smell like that.
That's right, I guess you're right. I'd forgotten about that.
Smelled like
the oiled floors, hardwood floors that had been oiled.
Oh.
But it was a very old building when I was in school there.
Okay, once again, what was discipline like in the schools?
I don't know. I guess I was never disciplined.
That's good.
I don't remember.
All right.
People behaved themselves in those days.
It's good to hear. As you were going to school, the Depression was going on by the dates I can piece that together. How did the Depression affect your family?
Well, not all that much. My mother had died in 1930, so we had help in the house always, and my father had a business here. And I remember it was tough on everybody, but I think we were luckier than most people. I remember going down and getting money from the store, hardware and plumbing business, getting a dollar to buy groceries for the day. And it would buy porterhouse, steak, or whatever, you know, like things were so inexpensive, like 10 cents a pound or something. Money was tight, but we never really suffered.
Didn't suffer
that much. But I do remember that the several women in Grand Haven would get a hot meal for children over there that didn't have enough money to have breakfast or a good hot meal, and they, before school would start, I think it was at the Elks building, wasn't it, there? Where they used to give a hot breakfast for the children before school. But that was in Grand Haven. They didn't have anything like that here.
Okay. Another question that occurred to me along the lines of recreation. What were the dating rituals of the day? When did people start dating? What sort of things would you do?
You'd go to a movie. Probably 15 maybe. And of course, we were all driving at 14.
Yeah.
We had driver's licenses and everything when we were 14 years old. So, but I don't think we dated then. Probably 15, 16 years old we dated. And you'd go to a movie and then go out and get a hamburger or something afterwards. And in high school, of course, after that.
So, hasn't changed that much, sounds like. Was that place, the barn, I believe it was called, was that up?
When I was a child, no.
Okay.
In high school, maybe it was. Oh, they used to have the pavilion that Jimmy referred to was where the Highland Park, or Highland, Neville Bilmer Apartments are now, and that was a big bathhouse kind of thing. When I was a child, they had cubicles and you could rent bathing suits, believe it or not, and also at the Oval they had what they called a bathhouse, and you'd rent a little dressing room for, I don't know, not very much money, and change clothes there in the bathing suits. And then later after that it got to be a dance hall upstairs, and
they used to get very big name acts of the day in there, didn't they, at the pavilion?
Well, that was much later.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, after the war, because we were married at that time.
Okay.
We were married 49 years ago
I can remember when I was a kid living on Howard Street, and you used to go down to the barn and listen to the big bands playing down there in Washington.
I thought that was after we used to go to Grand Rapids, the Civic Auditorium there on dates. And they had big bands coming in all the time. Benny Goodman
the big ones.
Big ones, yeah. Yeah.
Glenn Miller and
yeah.
Dorsey's, I think.
Sure. Both Dorsey's.
Mm-hmm. How long a drive would that have been to Grand Rapids in those days?
Oh, hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
At least an hour, probably an hour and a half.
Okay.
The roads were a lot
different
than
yeah. Two
and
lines.
Not an awful lot of traffic. Yeah, no
rolling
highway.
Did you take?
I remember those years and years ago when I was just a child. We used to drive to Chicago because I have an uncle that lived over there. And we'd drive to Chicago, and it would take all day to get there. And you get flat tires all the time. And so we used to time my father changing tires. And I remember the record was a minute and a half to change the tire.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. Between movies and the radio were very popular.
Yes.
Did you have any favorites, or were there certain actors or radio voices that were popular with girls?
Garbo and Claudette Colbert and Humphrey Bogart later, but and they had the William Powell and what was that series? The Thin Man series were lots of fun. There were lots of movies, all separate plots. McMurtoloy. William Powell and McMurtoloy had the Thin Man series with a little water hair, and that was kind of a mystery type thing, and they were lots of fun. And there were lots of good movies that I wish they'd bring back.
Yeah. Were there certain actors that were the ones that the women really liked back in those days?
I can't
imagine they had the media hype that are attached to the stars of today.
There were movie magazines.
Oh, were there?
Oh, sure. All that sort of thing. And big movie stars. Isn't that awful? Oh, Cary Grant. Of course, he was gorgeous.
Of course.
And
Mary Pickford, Douglas Fairbanks.
Oh yeah, Douglas Fairbanks. Those were fun movies. And Douglas Fairbanks Jr. They were, lots of fencing and action, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to the movies pretty much a once a week thing. Is it something you did?
No. However, I was in school. I was never allowed out on the school.
No, yeah.
Just weekends.
Understandable. Another thing I was wondering, you're talking about the beach. What would you do at a day at the beach? I know now what people do now is they pretty much just lay in the sun and they're very obsessive about getting their tans. Was getting a tan the big thing back then, too?
Yeah.
Getting sunburned.
The creams and so forth at the now, but you were careful, and of course. Getting back to Yacht Club, they didn't have any Yacht Club at that time. But a bunch of people formed what they called a Yacht Club, but there wasn't any clubhouse, and they used to do it in people's houses, for instance, Reichardt's house down here where Jim Spencer built and lived in, and that was the where they started the races at that point, and then at Barrett's Boatyard, and then at Bauman's, which is where Cote d'Amer is now. It was another boatyard, and they had that for a while, and they kept switching places for and the Robbins estate started, where Gary Verplank is now. That was another place we used as a yacht club, until they finally bought the Thumb property over there, where it is now.
Okay.
But that place down the lake a while back.
Early 50s. Just remember also that big dance pavilion place on the dock in Fruitport at that end of Spring Lake. Was that big in that time?
Yes, it was. And then after the war, that was real big. We used to go up in boats. We had a big old, that Jimmy had restored, a big old 28-foot launch. And we had more fun. We'd fill it up with people and go up to the big bands, which were up above in the pavilion. And the boats would raft three or four deep out there, listening to the music and so forth. It was fun.
Sounds like it.
And that goes down.
You were talking about groceries, and you said you used to go get the supper dinner every day. Was shopping something you did daily still at that time? Was refrigeration?
We did because we were so close.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, as long as I can remember, we had an electric refrigerator, but then with my father in the business, it probably, you know, was in the, and we had indoor plumbing and so forth because he was in the business.
Was it still common to not have indoor plumbing in your life? Really?
Yeah. The house two doors over had a little outhouse out in the back.
Oh.
And they didn't have a bathtub. I remember the people that lived there, Saturday night was a big night for baths, and in the kitchen they used to have two wash tubs, and they had 10 children, and they would bathe in wash tubs because there was no bathtub.
Tell them about the windmill out here. There was one mill right out here.
Oh, yeah, but that was long before I was around here.
Yeah, but there's still a tank up in the damn attic.
Oh, yeah.
A tub about that high. Mm-hmm. About 6 feet in diameter. For storing water. So the water was 4 feet down the kitchen.
But that was long before my time.
Okay, in high school, what are your recollections of that? What did you study? What did you like about it?
I don't know, the usual things, history and chemistry and physics and English.
Was there a lot of choice for students then? I knew...
No, not really.
Pretty much everybody took the same things. It wasn't tracked like it is now.
Except I never had typing with shorthand. I guess that was an elective. Should have taken it, never did.
Not too many courses you weren't elective.
No, there weren't.
Okay. When you got out of high school, did you go on to more education then?
No, I didn't go to school at that point.
Okay, then.
Eventually, I got out in 35, about 37, I went to work at a telephone company as a service representative in the office, and there were only two of us there. I was only the second employee in the office. One woman had taken care of the whole thing. And then they decided they needed someone else, and so they hired me. And that was kind of fun. I did that until we were married in 42.
As a service representative, what did that job entail?
Oh, well, you took complaints for one thing, and orders for telephones, and that sort of thing, the business office.
What sort of complaints would you get?
Well, let me see. One day, I had a fascinating experience. I won't tell you it was, because you'd recognize the name, but he and his wife had been in Chicago, and they had a daughter. When they came home, the daughter had a telephone installed. And one day we were there, and this man was really kind of cute. He always wore white piqué on his vest and so forth. He was very dignified. And he came in with his telephone in his hand, the wires dragging around, just sat it on the desk and walked right out again. Who he was. He didn't want his daughter to have a telephone. And then something were wrong, we'd have to, with bills, if someone didn't pay their bill on time, we'd have to call them up and try and make arrangements for easier payments, or say, why haven't you paid your bill, or one of those things.
I don't want to sound too stereotypical, but I have two teenage sisters now, and, you know, it's kind of a thing in American culture where the teenage girls are on the phone all day calling one of their friends right after another. Was that a common practice?
I don't think that bad, no.
Good.
You mean you never get your calls?
And it's always answering their calls, and you always think it's for you, and it's not.
No, I don't think it was quite as bad as it was. We had a daughter who was bad at that point when she was a teenager, but not like it is today.
Okay. From what I've gotten listening to some other interviews and talking to some of the other people on the interviews I've done, Spring Lake growing up was a place which was pretty wide open. It wasn't, there was a big field on the other side of Lake Street. I know none of that was developed. And
that was across the street here. That was what we used to call the commons. And there was nothing there from this street on. It was nothing. And there was nothing over here either. These houses were all built later. That one was there where Thomas is living now. But then the, from there over here, there was nothing. It was all just lake property with nothing on.
I guess I've sort of gotten the idea from what they've said is that kids in Spring Lake had a lot of freedom and space to do a lot of things like swimming and just kind of running loose. What sort of things did you do?
Well, I don't know. I swam and sailed and golfed and what else? Just
played. Any particular games that were big with kids back then?
No, I don't think so. We roller skated and we played ball. And I don't know. Don't remember.
Did the barn used to be a roller skating?
Yes. But that was after.
What was it after?
After our time.
Oh, okay. What about the winter? You mentioned ice skating.
Yeah. And have parties on the ice. That was fun. Out here, and ice boats. Oh. Although I never liked ice boating much, might as well ride a motorcycle. Like this, like that.
The winter of, was it 36? That was the really,
was that
really bad. I think it was. We've got all the pictures there.
Winter of 35 and 36.
Yeah, well, I was out of school then.
Okay.
But it was fun.
What?
Oh, we had gone to Grand Rapids, a friend and I, up to another friend's house up there, and we had gone to Grand Rapids when all the snow came down. We couldn't get home for 2 days. And then when you did get home, there were just turnouts. It was one lane, and then they had turnouts dug in the snow so that, you know, if a car was coming, one of you had to go in the turnout. And that was for several days, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think I've read that school was canceled for 3 weeks or something. Wasn't it that much? Was that pretty common that a big snowstorm would shut things down for longer than today?
I don't think we had that many big snowstorms.
No.
That was unusual.
No.
It was kind of fun. I shouldn't say that. But when the ships would run aground out there, we'd all go looking at the ships that were around, the big craters and things would run aground on and out there. That was kind of fun. In the fall, that was when the fall, terrible storms in the fall, and that's when a lot of the ships sank, you know, a lot of the craters and things sank at that point. Not there were those big storms.
Right.
But I think that they close the schools today on any little years ago, there wasn't any buses or anything.
That's true.
They didn't have to drive. We used to have to walk to school no matter what it was.
Yeah. I guess now there's so many kids like out in the townships and that can't get into school.
Well, there were then too, and not that many, but in the Spring Lake there were a lot of kids that were bused into the school, but they didn't close the schools because they couldn't get in. If they couldn't get in, that was tough. The school was still open.
What about holidays and Christmas? Were they different back then at all? Were there different traditions?
About the same.
About the same. Okay. Family gatherings.
As they are now, I'm sure.
Was there as much, I'm thinking particularly of Christmas, as many external decorations like you see now with all the...
I think so.
flashing lights
I think
and that?
So. No.
No.
I don't know. We used to put lights on the trees.
Yeah, but that was.
Oh.
Back lights he was talking about.
Oh, yes,
ma'am. Okay. I forget this romanticized picture of the quiet Christmas with the snow gently falling in there.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It would be.
Like
kind of get sick of seeing the flashing lights and that all the time. I guess the next thing I'd like to talk about is the war and how did that affect you?
Well, we were married in San Antonio. Jimmy thought when he got out or when he got his commission that he could get home on leave, but he couldn't. So he was stationed in San Antonio, and I went down. We were married there. After the war, I came home when he went overseas, and our daughter then was, he stayed in this country for quite a while because he was in an air depot group that they used as a model for other air depot groups. So when did you go to the Pacific? When did you leave?
44.
44. Yeah. And we had a child at that point, and then I came home. My father came down to Mobile to drive us home, and that was kind of tough because gasoline shortage and rubber shortage and all, you know, you couldn't get tires and all that sort of thing.
How long did that trip take back in those days?
I don't remember. But it was fun, and I stayed here then until he got back.
I guess I got to thinking about things like this during the recent war we had, and everything, you know, there was so much media attention, and you knew what was going on.
Much different.
Right.
Much different. You really didn't know what was going on because there was a blackout on news. They didn't tell you anything, of course. And the letters from over there were all censored.
Mm-hmm.
And you really didn't know.
You only saw the news on the newsreels.
Yeah, the newsreels. Because, of course, there wasn't any television. And the radio had some battles and things that they told about. But it was much different. And it annoys me a little when, on this last war, when they felt so sorry for the people that were left at home with small children. I don't know what they thought we did in WW2. You know, they had psychiatrists and everybody in this last war, and everyone was in tears and all that sort of thing. Well, we all went through it years ago, and, you know, you just roll with the punches. Yeah. You accept what's thrown at you. And when you're husband's overseas and you're left with a child here, you don't sit around and brood about it. You do what you have to do.
Did you have to work then during the war? That's good. Another thing I've always wondered about the effect it had culturally or societally on the people. Oh. Was it something that it was the foremost thing in everybody's mind for the whole 5 years, or did it sort of?
Well,
I don't want to trivialize it.
I had been in part of it. I mean, in the army bases and things, we were, you know, stationed various spots during the war, various places, and it was uppermost in my mind, of course, because Jimmy was there.
Right.
And, you know, you just—it's always in the back of your mind that he's over there in the middle of the war.
I think it was on everybody's mind because most people over here were working in the defense force.
Yes.
And so that was always on the mind.
So it didn't become something that, I mean, 5-6 years is a long time for a war to be going on, and I guess I've always wondered if it became maybe more casual as things went on.
It didn't. At least that was not with me, and not with so many people whose mates were overseas, and fathers and that sort of thing. There weren't any men around. You know, you did a lot of things with women. They had bridge parties and that sort of thing with women, because there weren't any men, but, young men anyway, when we were young.
Now, did a lot of women from this area have to work during the war?
Oh, I suppose a lot of them did. A lot of them volunteered in the hospital, but of course I had the small child.
Right.
But a lot of them volunteered at the hospital, and because, you know, there was a shortage of everything, nurses and everything else. And a lot of people did work in the factories, those that could.
Right. Especially like when your husband got actually overseas, how much communication were you able to have with him? How good of an idea could you have of where he was?
He didn't write much.
Yeah. So it was something where, I mean, you could be left wondering for weeks at a time exactly where he was.
Yeah.
How hard was that to deal with?
Pretty tough. But as I say, you take what life throws at you, and you know, when there's nothing to do about it, there's no sense of worrying about it.
It's a good attitude. So, I guess moving on to a different subject, what was it like raising a child back in those days?
What? Just like today, I suppose. I'm glad I don't have any to raise today, teenagers and things, with the way things are today. The moral code that long ago was much different than it is now.
How so?
What? Well, sex is thrown at you all over the TV, the newspapers, the magazines, and it really, the Hayes office, they used to call. I think it was the Hayes office, wasn't it? In the movies, would censor the movies, and there was nothing. And as a matter of fact, you couldn't show two people in a bed. And, you know, they'd have long kisses, and then it would, in the movies, and then it would fade out. There was nothing, and all that sort of thing wasn't thrown at you all the time, as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be very difficult raising children today, and all this promiscuous business wasn't prevalent in that long ago.
Okay,
you kiss somebody goodnight, that was about all.
Trying to think of how to phrase this, I guess maybe the best way to do it was, you could, I don't know if it changed or not, you could take it from when you were a child, and then maybe it was when your daughter was growing up. What was expected of a child in those days?
Not very darn much.
Not very.
Just a child.
I'm thinking rules and regulations. Well, I mean, were children supposed to be seen and not heard, achievement-wise? Manners and behavior-wise.
A lot of manners. And you were expected to behave well, and you did.
What would have constituted good behavior?
What's bad behavior?
Okay, maybe that's a better way. What?
I don't know.
Okay.
In those days, it just never occurred to you to do much that was bad, did it, Jenna?
That sounds great.
You didn't dare to do anything bad.
You know, the beauty of a small town that I don't suppose holds true in a city. The beauty of a small town is if you do anything wrong, everybody knows about it, so you just don't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
Because it's bound to get back to your family when you do.
Yeah. Maybe that's something that has changed through the years, too,
I think. Sure.
Because of the fact that there is more mobility and people don't know, or they do not, you know, Like your husband said, he used to know everybody that walked by in town.
Yeah, right.
And you don't have that closeness anymore. If a child did get in trouble or do something that was disappointing, what sort of punishments would be doled out?
I kept my room when I was eight. But that was about all I kept.
Okay.
Honey, somebody's here.
That's a mailman.
Oh.
Okay. What sort of things did you do socially then as you got into your adult life? And what were, not just for you, common for...
Well, we'd have lots of dinner parties with friends and go out for dinner a lot. We'd belong to the country club and the yacht club, and they'd have parties and dances every couple of weeks and that sort of thing, I guess.
Okay.
We still do a lot of entertaining and so forth. However, we're gone 7 months. We're in Florida.
Wow. Has in-house entertaining always been a big thing? Has it become less formal through the years?
Yes, much less formal. However, we have gone from having big, big parties to maybe six for dinner.
How big is a...
Well, we've had cocktail parties with a couple of hundred people staggered. Mm. You know, you start maybe at 4 o'clock going out until 8, somebody come. Some of them 50 at 4 to 5, some more at 5 to 6, and 6 to 7, and you know, because you can't hold everybody.
Right.
And the house is big.
Was that,
But I hate cocktail parties, you know. I'd much rather get a small dinner party. I think everybody would at our age.
Yeah, not less work, for certain.
Well, you don't get to talk to anybody at a cocktail
party. Yeah, you have to get into the host and hostess thing.
Yeah.
Were large cocktail parties like that a common occurrence years ago?
Women used to have large bridge parties with 5 or 6 tables and luncheon and all that sort of thing, but it's cut down an awful lot since then.
Yeah, I think even with my parents' generation, I don't believe that is as common anymore.
No, I don't. Well, with our daughter, for instance, is like 48 years old, and she works and has for years. And, you know, I think so many, two people have to work today the husband and wife both even make ends meet usually today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where few married women worked years ago. Not very many.
Have you ever belonged to any organizations or social?
I've been a member of the Free Bed Guild.
And what have you done through that?
Well, I've been a group leader and president and...
What does the Free Bed Guild do? I guess I'm not familiar with that.
It's the only organization that the Free Bed Guild was started. Now it's a hospital group, but at that time it was started to maintain, it was before all this insurance bit, and it was started to maintain a bed at the hospital for someone who could not afford it. But then it came along that, you know, insurance covered most people, so that we abandoned that. But they do, they still do lots of things for charity and people, and it's the only organization that works strictly for charity. Now, they buy a lot of things for the hospital, and it's really evolved into a hospital group rather than what it originally started.
Okay. I guess that just brought up a different line of questioning that I hadn't thought to ask before. Going back to when you were a child or before maybe the age of modern medicine, what was it like when somebody got sick? How was that treated?
Well, the doctor behind the Presbyterian.
Speaking of the hospital here.
Behind the Presbyterian chapel on the corner. It was called the Elizabeth Hatton Memorial Hospital because Mr. Hatton had started it in memory of his wife. And Betty Meyer in Grand Haven, Betty Lynn Meyer in Grand Haven was the first child born in it, which is why her name is Elizabeth, because Mr. Hatton asked that she be named Elizabeth because she was the first baby born there, and that was 1919.
Right. That's neat. If somebody got really sick, let's say, and they had to...
They're still in the house. Okay. There wasn't anything else.
What sort of treatments were there?
I have no idea.
Tell them about your grandfather being operated on.
Oh, yes. That kitchen, before it was remodeled, was where the original kitchen was. And my grandfather had the first appendicitis operation in Michigan on the kitchen table there by Dr. Brown, who was a doctor here 15 years ago.
That's an interesting...
And he was in bed for months with it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it had burst or what, but he was in bed. You'd have a nurse. We had nurses around the clock for a couple of years when my mother was sick.
Did they have any... I'm sure they had something. It wasn't as bad as the real did. But what sorts of anesthesia?
Behind the Presbyterian...
Speaking of the hospital here.
Behind the Presbyterian chapel on the corner. It was called the Elizabeth Hatton Memorial Hospital because Mr. Hatton had started it in memory of his wife. And Betty Meyer in Grand Haven, Betty Lynn Meyer in Grand Haven was the first child born in it, which is why her name is Elizabeth, because Mr. Hatton asked that she be named Elizabeth because she was the first baby born there, and that was 1919.
That's neat. If somebody got really sick, let's say, and they had to...
Still in the house. There wasn't anything else.
What sort of treatments were there?
I have no idea.
Tell them about your grandfather being operated on.
Oh, yes. That kitchen, before it was remodeled, was where the original kitchen was. And my grandfather had the first appendicitis operation in Michigan on the kitchen table there by Dr. Brown, was a doctor here 15 years ago.
That's an interesting...
And he was in bed for months with it. They
yeah.
I don't know whether it had burst or what, but he was in bed. You'd have a nurse. We had nurses around the clock for a couple of years when my mother was sick.
Did they have any... I'm sure they had something. It wasn't as bad as the real did. But what sorts of anesthesia... Did they use?
Chloroform. I did.
Chloroform was the first.
Yeah, chloroform, I guess. I don't know when ether came in the beginning.
Would you have any idea how effective that was?
Chloroform?
Yeah,
the effect pretty effective. Kill somebody with it.
Yeah, I know.
So I guess it would not help.
About, just for like, say somebody had a nasty head cold. I mean, now you can get, there's 3 million different things you can go to the store and pick up.
Treat it in 7 days if you don't. Still, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, aspirin's up there all for years.
I've got to go in 10 minutes. I have a luncheon date.
Oh, okay. Well, getting sort of towards the end here. Anyways, because we've pretty much covered so many things in the first interview. Yeah. So I guess, how would you say, just in summation, things have changed through the years, just lifestyle-wise, and what are your opinions of those changes? Yeah.
Oh, in Grand Haven, I think everything is for the better, of course, and of course so much bigger than it ever was before. I think years ago, Spring Lake was about 1,000 people. where now it's not that much bigger, but maybe it's 3,000 or 4,000.
Three, I think I saw the census.
Yeah, but it's I don't know if it's an easier life. I suppose so. Sure, with automatic dishwashers and washing machines and all that sort of thing, so much easier than it was years ago. But and I'm sure everything has changed for the better. I think the waterfront Grand Haven is just marvelous, and it gets so much use. I think one of the prettiest views, and I keep pushing it, is around Grand Avenue at twilight or after dark with the pier all lighted all the way out. I think that's marvelous.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest ideas they ever had was to light that up at night,
yes,
I think.
It was Ed Zinko that started that. Carried it through to completion. That was great. And there's been a lot of participation in things. For instance, the musical fountain was all volunteer stuff, and the river thing at the end of Washington Street,
right.
The brass thing going through there, and well, the boardwalk, all that was community participation and money that did most of that. All of that, and I think it's great. It's a good community, and I certainly wouldn't want to live anyplace else.
Great.
And have, but wouldn't want to anymore. Except we are in Florida for
right.